Well, as I said earlier, there's been much reporting in the media in the past 2 weeks about domestic violence and the place that the church might play in it. So for that reason, I want to take the unusual step of handing over our sermon time this morning to look at this topic. It's not a sermon or even a lecture on domestic violence, but more some thoughts on how the church should respond and informing you on how our Sydney Diocese has been responding. For this, I am much indebted to the comments made by the Dean of St Andrew's Cathedral, Kanishka Raffel, to his congregation recently, of which much of this material comes. If you've been following the presentations in the media, you would have known that on the ABC, journalist Julia Baird presented a number of cases that emphasised a statistic that US research shows that sporadic attenders of churches are more likely to engage in domestic violence than the general community. For a different take, News Corp's Andrew Bolt in the Herald Sun and on Sky News pointed to a key finding from the same research which shows that regular attenders at church are much less likely to be involved in domestic violence. Julia also reported that statistic, but much less prominently. Julia's reports contained moving personal stories from victims of terrible abuse at the hands of pastors in mainstream churches and from members of mainstream churches. Then, last Sunday night, Channel 9 60 Minutes reported on shocking abuse within a fringe independent Baptist church unrelated to the Australian Baptist Ministries or Reformed Baptist networks. There has been much discussion on social media about the legitimacy of Julia Baird's findings and selective reporting. On her report, one could conclude that a church community is a dangerous place to be. Also, the doctrine of male headship has been brought into question and is seen by many to be a dangerous one and one that causes the degradation of women. However, God's word is good, and his patterns for living are for our utmost benefit. Whilst more could be said about the way such things are reported, and more about the good of male headship, that is not my aim this morning, although I will touch on the second briefly. For what is certain, and what these reports have shown, and in that they have done us a great service, is that women and some men within the church have suffered terribly at the hands of spouses and partners. What is also certain is that the church has not always responded appropriately, often encouraging victims to stay in a relationship at all costs, citing such things as God hates divorce. The subject of abuse within the Christian community is, of course, deeply disturbing and upsetting, but which has also been the subject of investigation and discussion in the Sydney Anglican Church over several years. The diocese, at the instigation of Synod, established a domestic violence task force in 2015 under the leadership of Reverend Sandy Grant from the Cathedral at Wollongong, St Michael's. Tragically, domestic violence occurs in the homes of Christians, churchgoers, and church leaders, including pastors and those who exercise lay leadership roles. This is abhorrent and unacceptable in every way. If this is or has been your experience, I grieve for you. No woman should experience abuse, assault, humiliation, rape, or any other kind of degrading, threatening, demanding, or controlling behaviour at the hands of another person, least of all her husband. Domestic violence includes behaviours that are not physical, but includes emotional, psychological, or spiritual abuse, including harsh or demeaning words or controlling behaviour, including restriction of movement or interaction with others. Such behaviour sometimes also affects husbands who are abused by their wives. In either case, nothing in the Bible makes such behaviour acceptable or permissible. Research demonstrates that perpetrators of domestic violence who have some church involvement sometimes make use of the Bible's teaching about headship and submission as a tool in their armoury of abuse. This is scripture twisting of the worst kind. The Apostle Paul teaches that a husband should love his wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, as we had read from Ephesians 5 earlier. A Christian husband's love for his wife should reflect the self-sacrificial service of Jesus in laying down his life for his people. A husband's care for his wife is to be no less than his care for himself, providing, protecting, and nurturing. Again, Ephesians 5. Someone has described headship as the responsibility of the husband to see that his wife flourishes in every way. Another important apostolic teaching about the relationship of husbands and wives is mutuality. It is a relationship of equals where both parties owe each other care, respect, and support. In sexuality and spirituality, the most intimate realms of the marriage relationship, there is to be mutual consent. So 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. This is totally other person-centred, and there is no place for selfish demand. The apostle also teaches that Christian wives are to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. When the church submits to Jesus, it is not submitting to tyranny, abuse, domination, manipulation, or violence. When the church submits to Jesus, it does so in response to Jesus' sacrificial love for his people, knowing how much he has given for their sake, how much Jesus labours for their welfare. Paul says a wife's submission to a husband involves respect. The Bible never says to a man to compel his wife to submit, nor to assert authority or exercise control over his wife. Any attempts at coercion or manipulation or attempts to lord it over or domineer is wrong and a travesty of the way of Christ. In Mark 10:42-45, we read, Jesus called them over and said to them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." No woman is required by Scripture or her marriage vows to remain in a situation where her safety or that of her children is threatened by domestic violence. She is free to remove herself to a place of safety, if need be, permanently. While Christians aspire to reconciliation in all relationships, in cases of domestic violence, this may never be possible, and in any case should only be attempted with expert assistance and advice, and only after the victim's safety is assured. Domestic violence is deeply unfaithful, shatters the one flesh of the marriage bond, and abandons the promises of marriage. In 2007, the Synod of the Sydney Anglican Church passed a resolution affirming the biblical teaching on the nature of marriage and rejecting both domestic violence and any use of the Bible to justify such behaviour. The Synod requested that there be teaching in local churches about healthy biblical marriage and against domestic violence. Since then, as I have said, the Synod has formed a domestic violence task force, which has conducted its own research into domestic violence, including in Sydney Anglican churches, and promoted better training of clergy in recognising, responding to, and teaching against this behaviour. Just this past month, there was a faithfulness in service seminar that all clergy are required to go to, a whole day conference, clergy and church workers, and half of that day was put over to the topic of domestic violence with an outside presenter. There have also been many public statements by our Anglican leaders on this topic, and you can find these listed and printed on the Sydney Anglicans website. I just want to read a few of them. In October 2012, in his presidential synod address, the then Archbishop Peter Jensen said, "At the heart of family is marriage, understood as the union of two persons of the opposite sex from different families by way of promises of permanence and exclusion. If the promises reflect, as they do in the Book of Common Prayer, the differences between man and woman, as well as the equality, it is always to be understood that the headship of the man brings with it the awesome responsibility to nurture and cherish as Christ loved and cherished his church. To use this, as some have, as an excuse to demand slave-like civility or even to engage in physical and emotional bullying is to misuse it utterly, and no wife should feel spiritually obliged to accept such treatment. Here too, sin takes and distorts what is for our good in its own evil interests. Likewise, however, to treat husband and wife as two simply interchangeable partners is to court damage to the fabric of the family itself." In October 2015, in his presidential synod address, Archbishop Glenn Davies said, "While I welcome this task force on domestic violence, it grieves me that we need it. It is a salutary reminder of the corrosive effects of sin, even in the believer, that men who profess Christ should treat their wives with such contempt, inflicting either verbal or physical abuse upon those whom they have promised to love and to cherish till death us do part. This is not the way of Christ. It should not characterise the bride of Christ. It does not reflect, despite the accusations of some, the inevitable consequences of the doctrine of headship in marriage. What it does demonstrate, regrettably, is that in the words of the 39 Articles, in the visible church, the evil be ever mingled with the good. If even Satan can use the words of Holy Scripture to tempt our Lord, it is not difficult to conceive that the evil one can twist good doctrines to his own evil purposes. That Christian women are caught in such a vulnerable situation at the hands of those who abuse their responsibilities as husbands is both horrendous and inexcusable. It is therefore important that we address this issue with honesty, compassion, and resolve, so that we may protect those who suffer any form of domestic abuse and find ways to prevent its reoccurrence, especially in the household of God. In June 2017, this year, Archdeacon Cara Hartley, the Archdeacon for Women, said this: "The misuse of power is at the heart of the sin of domestic violence. Yet in the Lord Jesus, we see the powerful Son of God who calms the storms, heals the sick, who has power over creation and people, give up his life for the sake of others." Mark 10:45, "He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This is great love, sacrificial love, and the kind of love we ought to show one another." Cara gave a long interview to the ABC, but regrettably none of that was used. Also, Archbishop Glenn Davies, who was in the program, also said this as part of that interview, but which wasn't aired: "I want to hold husbands to account, not only to the commitments they have made to their wife, but commitments they have made to Christ. I am speaking to our church members here." He was then asked by the ABC interviewer, "What would you like to say to a man in one of the congregations in this area who was abusive towards his spouse?" His answer: "Be the man of God that God has called you to be. Love your wife as you love yourself. Do no harm to her as you would do no self-harm. Care for her. Love her. Nourish her. Cherish her and do not lay a hand upon her. Do not let an abusive word come out of your mouth which would demean her or undermine her confidence as your wife and as the mother of your children. If you refuse to do that, then you are disobeying God, and there are consequences for that." Friends, domestic violence is not to be tolerated in any shape or form, and we need to be a community where help and safety can be found. If you wish to discuss this matter or feel that you are in an unsafe situation, you are welcome to approach myself or my assistant Scott Maxwell, or my wife Sue, who is a trained social worker, albeit a long time ago, or you can contact the Sydney Anglican Professional Standards Unit, and the phone number is on your news sheet. You will be treated with respect and utmost seriousness. In the first instance, you may care to approach a trusted Christian friend. But if you are suffering in any way, I urge you to seek out help and to pray for both victims, our church leaders, and perpetrators. Thank you.